This week, our classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz reviewed the recordings of the English choral group The Tallis Scholars. They specialize in early music. Now, many of you were intrigued. We got lots of calls asking us about their current U.S. tour. Today, in hopes of satisfying some of your curiosity and mine, my guest is Peter Phillips, founder and director of The Tallis Scholars. Phillips formed the group 10 years ago with high hopes of creating a nearly pure vocal sound. Here are The Tallis Scholars singing Allegri's Miserere, written in the 17th century and performed in the Sistine Chapel during Holy Week. When was the first time you heard early church singing?
Well, I was a chorister at Winchester Cathedral. I was brought up in the tradition of singing this music, but I didn't hear it sung quite like this, as we do it with a professional adult choir, until I went to Oxford University. Then I heard it on a group called the Clerks of Oxenford, and they sent me into a daze which lasted for weeks.
You started out playing the oboe, and then you switched to the organ, and there was a little piano in there. How did you make your way to a choir?
In England, it's necessary to play the organ in order to become a cathedral musician, in order to conduct a choir.
Oh.
That's the standard route. I don't know whether it's the same here. So I had to take up the organ, really. I didn't enjoy it very much.
You were bad at it?
I was not good at it. It was a trial.
So the choir was a relief?
Oh, well, right from the beginning, it was just what I wanted. I mean, I wanted to explore repertoire and mould the sound of singers right from the beginning, the moment I heard it, in fact.
Well, where did you develop that sense of just knowing that the sound was right as a conductor?
Well, as I say, I heard it first on a choir called the Clerks of Oxenford, and there were some imperfections in that sound. In fact, the sound is always slightly imperfect, which is one of the exciting things about it. I listened to our records, which I think probably come the nearest, because all the imperfections have been removed, so far as that's possible, by the conditions of the recording. But there's usually something comes along to disrupt the flow for me. I hope it doesn't for other people.
As you conduct, what are you after? Can you find words to describe that purest sound you imagine?
Well, it starts, I think, with the balance between the voices. The purity has to be affected by nobody actually sticking out, and that it is a genuinely choral sound. So you're trying to get, in my case, 10 singers, normally 10, to sound like an instrument, but an instrument of voices. So they have to be very, very aware of what everyone else is doing.
And they have to be people, I would imagine, who don't want a solo career.
Well, that's a very interesting question. A lot of them do have solo careers, but when they come to sing for me, they have to forget themselves and become part of a team.
The Agnus Dei from Josquin, it's so beautifully done by you.
Okay.
Now, as I listen to it, I wonder if it's harder to sing soft than it is to sing loud.
It depends on the kind of voice. If it's a very highly trained voice, it will have been encouraged to sing out in order to fill a hall with the sound. And they will find it difficult to sing softly, yes. But if one's trying to create an ethereal effect, I don't think loud singing is quite what's wanted. The angels probably don't shout at each other.
feel spiritual or holy when you conduct?
Not necessarily. Depends where the concert's taking place, actually. We sing about half of our time in churches and the rest of the time in concert halls. If the sound is really spot on and we're in a beautiful Gothic building with a lovely altarpiece, which I can see, but the singers can't because we tend to sing with our backs to the altar, then I do feel spiritual, yes. But I didn't, for instance, when conducting in the Sydney Opera House.
Do you ever wish you were born in another time?
I often think about it. I'm particularly attracted to the 16th century, but I'm perfectly happy where I am. I mean, I wouldn't have had such a good choir in the 16th century, I don't think.
Why not?
Well, there were just many fewer singers to choose from. I'm sure that the strength of the English singing at the moment results from the number of good singers there are in London, and I just have an enormous pool of singers to choose from. It's a great luxury.
Are you strict about your musical interpretations of this music? I mean, is it important for you to do it exactly as it was done 300 years ago?
No. I carefully avoid being pedantic about authenticity. What concerns me is always to produce a lively performance at the time. The debate is much more fierce over instrumental playing, which doesn't concern me.
Yeah.
Because instruments have been discovered and all, but you can't discover a voice from the 16th century. So we escape, actually, quite a lot of trouble. But I'm careful to read all the scholarly articles and then ignore them if necessary.
Now, women weren't in the original church choral groups. What's your thinking on that? You have women in your choir.
Well, that's quite straightforward. We couldn't. There's a practical point here that we simply couldn't tour in the way we're doing here in America with boys. But also, actually, I've come to prefer the sound that the women make to the sound that boys could possibly make. The women that we use often sound like, they're said to sound like boys, but actually, I think they sound much nicer.
Now, was this music written originally to account for the echo in the church? I mean, did the space shape the composition?
I personally think that it did. I think that the slow move, the best composers, and Palestrina is the obvious example, had a very good sense of how to fill a large reverberant building with sound that everyone could hear. That's to say, his lines move slowly and deliberately. Nothing startling happens without careful preparation. It's ideally suited to a big building. I was brought up in Winchester Cathedral, which is one of the very largest, and I got used to the music that sounded well in there. And by and large, that's my favourite repertoire now.
Is there a dream cathedral you'd like to perform in?
From an acoustical point of view, there isn't really. I feel it's part of our professional job just to produce a really good sound anywhere. But an honest answer to your question is that I want to perform in St. Basil's Cathedral, Moscow.
Oh, why?
Because it sounds such an exciting building, and it's such a difficult place to get to.
Peter Phillips is the director and founder of the Talis Scholars. The group begins its U.S. tour April 2nd at Stanford University. The cities they'll visit include Los Angeles, Seattle, Evanston, Boston, New York, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia. They record on their own label called Gimmel. This is Fresh Air.